I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. That way Lumberg can't see me. And after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
That is exactly what I have been doing for the last 2 weeks. Being late and spacing out for much, much longer than 1 hour. Hello and welcome, everybody. This is the Air Raid Podcast. This is the podcast that drops bombs of awesome straight to your ear holes. And I am your host, Aaron. Welcome to my show. Thank you for downloading us. Now available on iTunes, everybody. I'm so, so happy. That actually happened
I like this idea.
A couple days before before Christmas. And so Santa, a.k.a. Steve Jobs, thank you very much. We really appreciate you finally putting us up on iTunes after like 7 months of grueling pain.
No!
That we had to go through. Even our very experienced web guru, Sam Sohonis, had so much trouble with those guys. But we speak no ill because it's done. Everything's been done. We're good. We're up there. So I hope you guys are all happy. We've been getting some emails from people saying that now we are their ritual podcast that they listen to on like Monday mornings. So thank you, Nathan and Lisa. The Hill household, and I believe Capitol Hill here in Seattle. So I hope everybody had a very, very good holiday. I had a great, very relaxing holiday. Christmas was wonderful. Got a little toasty with my fam, and let's see, got some stuff. Mairead, the wife of the show, and semi-producer of the show. She actually got me a really, really cool present, which was a brand new huge mixer for the show, for the podcast. And I was so excited to use this thing. I plugged it in, got everything hooked up, and what do you know, does not work at all.
Bitch.
Went through tech support, all that good stuff with the people that sold it to us, and turns out it was faulty. It was faulty equipment, so we had to send it back. So I had been kind of like waiting for that to like show back up before I did the show. Plus, I'm just super lazy. And plus, yesterday when I was planning on putting all this together, I became very, very bogged down in what I like to call the greatest Jean-Claude Van Damme movie ever, and that would be Time Cop. And so, yeah, got a little caught up in the Time Cop, and had to watch that. But other than that, we had a great New Year's Eve. We had like a pregnant old person.
I will eat your babies, bitch!
Because we left the bar. Well, first let me tell you a little bit about it. We met up with some people. We did some appetizers and some pizza at a friend of ours' house named Jess, and thank you very much, Jess, for having us over. We had a great time at your place, real cute little place on Capitol Hill. And from there, we went down to Seattle's Best Karaoke and sang some tunes, and got a little drunk down there. And then from there, we went up to Fair and watched some live music and did the countdown. And then we left at 12:01, right on the button. And you know what? I did not mind. I did not mind. We made it outside. We got to watch some of the fireworks going off on the Space Needle, and it was a great great time. I had a great New Year's Eve kiss. It was wonderful. And that'll be our last kiss, or our last New Year's Eve kiss, until we have a new little bundle of joy next year that will forever ruin our New Year's Eve from here on out, quite possibly. Well, welcome back. I hope, like I said, I hope everybody had a great vacation, great holiday. We've got a good show for you planned today. I did this, I recorded some of this stuff like, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago. I ended up going out to the small town for some side work, some consulting work, and happened to hear about this this speakeasy that was back in the woods that this guy had built. So I ended up doing a couple interviews on some of the locales there in town, and we had to change everybody's name because we wanted to keep everything anonymous. Because in some people's eyes, I guess this sort of thing could be construed as illegal activity. Although, I will say, it didn't sound like any money was exchanging hands at this speakeasy bar. So, I don't know. I don't know what to think about it. It was a very, very cool place. The owner of the place, who we call Sal, was very, very nice. Invited me in. We had a drink after the show, after we did the interview. And yeah, just chatted a little bit. And I hope you enjoy it. Before we get to that, though, I would like to say something. I ran into a very old friend of mine the other day. And I don't usually, you know, I don't fault people for their political views much. I ran into this old friend of mine. He invited me over. We sat outside in the freezing cold weather. It was like 25 degrees out. And, this guy, he's literally my best friend in the world, in the whole world. I love this guy to death. And, he gets the wise idea to go outside and build a fire. So we go and build a fire in this fire pit and we're sitting around it and stuff. And, very, very smart guy. And somehow, somebody brought up politics. And I'm going, oh, crap, because I already know that, you know, I do not share the same political views as this friend of mine. And it was brought up, let's see, somebody brought up Sarah Palin. So I was keeping my mouth shut until somebody brought up Sarah Palin and how they thought that she should be the next president of the United States. And I just had to say something. I felt compelled to say or to ask the question, why would you think that? And these are people that I really, really respect. Like, I respect them. I love them from the bottom of my heart. And I think they are very, very smart people. But this just, it threw me. It really did. It threw me for a loop because I don't see how anybody with an ounce of intelligence in their brain could feel like she would make a good president. And that this is putting aside whether you're Republican or a Democrat. It does not matter. I just think that that woman is very dangerous. That woman is so dangerous. And maybe we shouldn't even talk about this. I don't know. But yeah, it threw me for a loop and it kind of scared me a little bit because up until that point, just kind of thought like, people look at her as kind of like an entertainment idol. Is that the right nomenclature or wordage for that? I always just kind of thought of her as like she's now just kind of this reality television star who's on Fox News and who says crazy things all the time, you know. So that really kind of that freaked me out. Like that there's people that. Like are very, very intelligent people that back her political views or feel that she would be good for this country in any shape or form. Anyway, okay, I'm done with that. I'm done with that. Let's get to the show. I hope you guys enjoy it. Like I said, this was done in a nondescript small town, either in Oregon or Washington. You be the judge. And all very nice people. One person that invited me into their home while he and his daughter made gingerbread cookies. That was kind of interesting and very cool. Very, very nice. Very nice people in this town. So without further ado, I give you the good listeners of the Air Raid podcast. Episode 29, Speakeasy with the White Rabbit. Hope you enjoy it.
to the store?
No. Yeah, let's take a ride to the store.
Okay.
Stop the truck.
So for the sake of anonymity, we're keeping shit anonymous here on this this episode here. You have chosen to go by the name of Bernie Reinhardt.
Bernie, that's my alias for now.
That's your alias. Okay. So I told you before we started this what we were kind of going for in this episode. We're covering this. This local kind of like speakeasy place that I'm going to call, for the sake of anonymity, the White Rabbit.
The White Rabbit. It's a, yeah, an elusive place where you take a ride down the rabbit hole.
Okay. That makes sense. I guess that's an apt name then, right? Now, how long has this place kind of been in operation?
It's been here around for 5 or 6 years now, tucked away in the woods.
Yeah.
Not everybody knows about it around here. It's kind of it's a special little hideout.
Yeah. It's kind of its own little thing.
Yeah.
How many times have you been up there personally?
Well, quite honestly, I can't remember because I tend to black out when I go there. It's they have an eclectic mix of alcohols and other things that people can enjoy, such as absinthe and...
Oh, wow.
Oh, you know, mezcal and things like that. I think the last time I was there, the last thing I remember is taking a shot of absinthe with Eli and then taking a shot of mezcal with my buddy Mikey and then...
Don't use any real names.
Those aren't real names.
Okay. Perfect.
And then ate the worm, and that's the last thing I remember. My girlfriend... told me the next day she had to take me home because I got a little out of control.
Really? Okay. So is this kind of a place where people normally get out of control then, or what?
I think it's not necessarily for getting out of control, but you can definitely do what you want to up there. You're not going to get kicked out for getting too drunk like you might at the bar.
Right. So would you say that this is kind of a speakeasy atmosphere?
Yeah,
at this place, then?
It's cool. It's kind of got like the old, you know, funky shack feel to it, and everybody's got their stylish clothes on, and you know, they go up there to listen to new hot music and talk about politics and do their thing. It's a cool spot.
Yeah. So what's with? It's pouring down rain here. And
my
windshield wipers do not work.
No, they turn on and off. It's kind of funny when it's raining, they turn off, and then when it stops raining, they turn back on.
Perfect.
I don't know.
Works out great for you.
Yeah,
then. Okay.
Yeah, it works really well.
Well, thank you very much, Bernie Reinhardt. And we're gonna talk with a couple other people here coming up and find out a little bit more about this place that we are calling the White Rabbit. Before we make our initial visit with the owner. So we'll see you in just a moment.
In my dreams I'm dying all the time. Then I wake, it's kaleidoscope.
So I'm standing here with Prince Philip and Aurora, and they are making gingerbread. Gingerbread men, or are you making gingerbread house, Aurora?
Gingerbread men.
Gingerbread men? All right.
She's been waiting for this for days.
Yeah. So the reason I'm here is that I've been hearing about this place that we are going to name the White Rabbit. Not using the real name, this kind of the speakeasy that's here in this town that we're in right now. And Prince Philip, you have been to this place before?
I have visited the White Rabbit on several occasions.
Several occasions. So would you say it is kind of like a speakeasy kind of place?
Yeah, you could say that. I think it's I think that it's open to interpretation. How about that?
Open to interpretation.
Yes. That's everybody has a different experience at the White Rabbit, as I think it was designed to be that way.
Right. Yeah. So when did this place start, you know?
Well, legend has it that the White Rabbit was established 500 years ago.
500 years ago? Yeah. Really?
Before the first settlers actually came to what is now called...
The Ivory Coast?
The Ivory Coast, yeah. Yes.
So you that's obviously not true.
No.
But you've been to that place many times now. What can I expect when I go up there and meet the purveyor of this place? And...
I think you can expect to be surprised and awed by its beauty.
By its beauty. Yeah. So it's I've heard that it was all kind of.
Yes, Aurora. Okay. Yes, we're getting there.
So I've heard that this place was kind of, it was all hand built.
It is.
Right? Out of like scraps of wood and everything. They even have like a space for bands to play up there. Is that right?
They do. It's several structures. It is a very funky, cool, very cool place actually.
Uh-huh. So you enjoy yourself. You enjoy yourself every
thoroughly,
time you go
yes.
There.
I've seen music there.
Uh-huh.
I've laughed there. I'm pretty sure I've cried there. And I seem to always have a really good time.
Oh, good. So, you know, we've been hearing about this place from a number of different acquaintances of ours, and we decided to come out here to this small town that we've never really been to before. I appreciate having a stranger in your home interviewing you about it.
Absolutely.
So how does the whole thing work? Because we were talking to somebody earlier that goes by the name of Bernie Reinhardt that said there's a bunch of alcohol up here. It's kind of this bar setting, right?
There is.
And so how does kind of the everything work with the alcohol? Is there money involved?
There is. It's kind of it's kind of bring a bottle, take a bottle of sorts.
Uh-huh.
You know, most people who do come do participate and like to provide. There you go, Aurora. This gingerbread is coming together nicely.
Yeah, it looks very good. It's very good.
Yeah, there's often food, treats perhaps.
Uh-huh.
The drinks are plentiful and delicious all at the same time.
Right.
And I think donation is more than welcome. But
yeah, so maybe I'll have to bring something up there to share.
Perhaps your favorite spirit would be appreciated, I'm sure.
Excellent. So one last question before I leave you guys to your gingerbread, Aurora. Aurora, do you know about the White Rabbit?
Mm-mm.
No, you don't know anything about the White Rabbit.
Nope.
Nothing you can add to this conversation here. Okay, well, thank you very much, guys, for inviting me in your home and helping you make gingerbread now.
You're welcome.
Right. And we'll be back in a moment with our trip up to the White Rabbit.
Sal?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, Sal.
Well, thank you so much for having me over here.
Wow.
So we're just walking through the woods here and coming up on the white rabbit.
It's a bit like, you know, seeing old people with their clothes off during the day. it's not really meant
to be seen in daylight.
Okay. Honest to God, it isn't. But there's a bunch of different... This is the turtle, and in many ways, the amphitheater is the reason why we... at least was in the back of my mind when I was building the whole thing, was to eventually do something for acoustic live music.
Okay.
So,
okay.
And it's got a great story in and of itself.
So just to give the people listening here, we're standing in front of this amphitheater that seems to be, it's built out of what, 2x4 ends?
Two by four, 6, 10, and 12. And I thought that I had heard that the end of a 2x4 is, of course, much harder than the other side with the end grain.
Right.
And I met with an audio engineer, and he told me about how, it's, you know, pros, they like the end grain because of the bounce.
Okay.
So I thought this would be a good idea to build something out of all end grain facing in an arch circle. So I met with a guy, and he talked about the size and shape of the arc. And we started doing this.
It's kind of a concave shape where it kind of comes back. You've got a little stage here, and it kind of comes back and wraps around the side.
Yeah, it's a true, you know, curved amphitheater. And then I tried, there's a curve in the top, too.
Right, right.
Which
I see
is just canvas spray painted with about 7 gallons of Ralph Lauren gold.
This is very cool. So you guys actually do hold live shows. Yeah, you can definitely hear how the sound is kind of deadened up here. I don't know if they can hear that at home.
Actually, what's weird about it is that it's a real warm sound, and you get a little reverb out of it. The oddest thing about it is there's a couple sweet spots in front of us, about 10 feet. So if you're on stage here and you're playing, it sounds really extraordinary, but if anybody about 5 feet away whispers that you suck, you can hear it. Which is definitely part of the effect.
That's very cool. This is amazing. So,
this thing, the funny part of it is that I thought this was going to be a good idea, and I had a huge pile of construction material, and I cut it all up, and I built a wall. Because if you stretch this wall out, it's probably something like 35 feet in a linear line.
Oh, okay.
Maybe even a little bit more than that. And I cut up this huge pile of construction material, and I built a wall that was about 4 inches tall. And then me and another friend who will go unnamed, we tore apart literally multiple homes, like full remodels.
Really?
And there's over 4,000 cuts.
Wow.
In this wall, which is, we don't even know how much it weighs, but it's glued and pin nailed together, and then a bunch of polyurethane to get the sound to bounce properly.
Wow.
And it really is a warm, wonderful sound for acoustic music.
This is cool. I'd love to come back and witness some music here.
We engineered all the, these are all sandwiched laminate, you know, trusses.
Right, across the ceiling.
And
very
cool.
The
building itself, there's a really super fantastic crotchety barge maker by the name of Trask on Bainbridge Island, who was sequestered by the EPA to tear apart his barge because the outside had creosote on it.
Oh, right.
And but he was pissed off because the whole interior of the barge was, you know, thousands of clear 6x6 and 4x6s. So me and three friends about 10, 12 years ago went every day for weeks and just took hundreds upon hundreds of 6x6s from the interior of the barge, just took it apart. And
you guys built this with.
I built the building out of like Lincoln logs, literally. It's just spiked together.
Well, let's take a look inside this building. This is the kind of the main building here.
Yeah, this is the turtle. As you can see, the turtle head's on the front of this.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And it's sort of shaped like a turtle.
Right, right.
And this is the goat, and this is the pigeon.
Okay.
So the three.
So three kind of
smoking voodoo lounge.
Okay, smoking voodoo lounge in here. Yeah, they got some definitely got some voodoo shit hanging from the
it's
hanging from the walls here.
And
wow.
And I put the heat on. I'll meet you. I'm going to go around the back of the bar. I'll meet you if you go in this way. I'll
okay.
go in that way.
Okay. Great. Great. Going into the bar area here.
God, I've been sick. And it's freezing right now.
It is. It's cold. I hit kind listeners. Of a little patch of ice on my way up here. I didn't know if
yeah.
the truck that I'm borrowing to drive around would actually handle
it. I was gonna hack it. Yeah, I seriously coming up that last night. So this building, there's us. There's the image of us tearing apart the barge for the actual wood.
Oh wow!
For this piece, and wow. That's me without any hair.
And,
A
little Tom Waits action up there too.
Yeah, that's a real shot. And, you know, people. We've had art shows. We've had a number of really nice shows down here. Some artists like Shanetka Gavronsky, and who has a gallery in the city, and uh-huh. Dan Parsons did a bunch of wonderful Polaroid work and. Just a bunch of different sorts of shows and things that have happened.
Very cool.
This is one of the pieces that she did for us, which I love.
Nice. So would you call, because I've been framing this as a speakeasy.
Yeah, we can talk more. It's always hard to describe what this thing looks like or feels like. I mean, it's
right.
a log cabin.
It's very rustic.
And, you know, it was all based around this big slab that was sitting in the driveway for a long time. But really, it's I just want it... I mean, it started as a joke initially, but uh-huh. I've been kind of doing these sorts of things all my life. You know, as a kid, we would steal big carpets and see if we could hide them in the woods just to have a place. And uh-huh. We spent a good amount of time living in Eastern Europe, and you find little holes in places for people
right,
to
right.
be.
Yeah.
And, everybody always shows up here, and particularly at night, and they're always kind of astounded by it. And I'm sort of appalled that they're not everywhere. Like, this shouldn't be anything. It shouldn't really feel special. It's just...
Right,
it's,
right.
I think that the big part about the goat is that it's the most natural, normal, simple thing you could do, which is there's a bunch of booze in the woods... people are asked to be responsible for themselves, not uh-huh. drink too much, not drink and drive too much,
right?
Not get angry, not, you know, we don't accept money for booze.
Okay.
There's okay. a pot out. If you want to throw money in it, you can. If you don't, yeah. you don't. And
for the cause.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, as you would imagine, the same people that give you money always give you money, and the
yeah,
same
yeah.
people who
never give you money or never bring anything.
never give you money.
No real names. No real names.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mean Jeff. That's a pseudonym for Jeff.
right. Well, we're sitting here in the bar area of the White Rabbit, which... I guess I'm going to have to edit out the
yeah.
times that you said the real name.
I guess that's true, and I don't really care because we first started, this was open 3 days a week, and we
really?
Literally had it open, and I would just come down here and wait, and the first summer was kind of ridiculous because there's something about a Thursday night being by yourself in the woods and wondering where everybody is.
Right.
And then actually having people show up, and then it would be even stranger. But it was really pretty magical the first year, and then
so how long have you had this thing running then?
I think this was the third year.
Oh, this is third year. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the thing is it's it's shifted. We are just open less.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried to make it a little bit more event driven.
Okay.
Okay, but, so surrounding like musicians that are coming up here and playing shows or DJs or anything like that. Or special parties. Or
family reunions. I mean, I just let people kind of come. It's really meant just to be, if you're in a small community, there's nowhere, it's stupid to have to leave. You know, you came here for a reason.
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, it's really also just a place, people come here when I'm not here, if I can trust them.
Yeah.
And that's I think that that's been a really big part of it, is just the radicalness of just trusting people.
Right, right. And have you found that that's been conducive to place too? I mean, do you have you had in the past like anybody that's taken advantage of your trusting?
Yeah, totally. I mean, but it's still I mean, the thing that comes across is that you feel really burned by very small acts, by very few individuals.
Right.
And you have to counter that.
Yeah.
You just have to sort of fight those feelings, because otherwise you wouldn't ever do this. And there's something about the woodsy, being in the woods, and that makes people feel vulnerable, I think, too. You know, once there was a whole lot of people showed up after a high school reunion. I didn't know any of them. I knew one of them, but you know, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning and 30 people showed up, and I was ready to close already. It was just one of those circumstances. I said to them, I said, guys, you know, we're going to close. And they said, oh yeah, it's cool, man. All right, man, we'll get going soon. And I was like, no, man,
you don't understand.
You're in the woods. I'm going to close. And they're like, no, it's cool. Don't worry about it. Yeah, just chill. I was like, yeah, okay, great. And then I just turned the lights off, and I said, you're in the woods. And then it just immediately, it went from sort of this magical circumstance to, we're alone in the woods and there's no light. And it just instantly changed the circumstance.
Right.
So
you have had to, apparently you've had to put the kibosh on,
People have been flagged. If that's what you're asking. Many people have been flagged. You get real tired of drugs.
Right.
Super quick.
Have you ever run a real bar, or is this kind of the first time that you've run something like this? You said a little bit earlier that you've done things like this.
Just
in the
past, more about bringing community people, different communities of friends together.
Right.
But yeah, no, that's always been like, I've been interested in like happenings of people, but but no, yeah, this has been the only one that we've ever done.
It's very cool. And you guys have done, I mean, you know, it's very, very rustic. It's very like, it feels like something that should be in the Appalachians or something like that, you know?
And I'm in contact with some other speakeasies that are in the Appalachians, one in the Adirondacks.
Really?
And, people that have actually come here and said, wow, you know, this really feels... And they actually, the real deal, they put the red light on so you can see it from the highway. Yeah. And if you see it, you know, they're open kind of places.
Right, yeah.
And it's an interesting solidarity amongst people and a weird passion to run something like this. I mean, the crazy thing about it, and I mean, one of the reasons when you asked to do this that I was interested in talking to you about it, other than just to meet somebody, was just that the potentiality of this being illegal is, you know, it's fucking ridiculous to me.
Like, right.
This is a shack in my yard with a nice little amphitheater.
Right, yeah.
And why can't we come together and choose to have a drink and throw money in a pot and buy more drinks so we can do it again?
You know, and that's something I wanted to ask you too. I wanted to touch on that, like, because, I mean, when I first heard about this place, I had in my mind, like, a speakeasy where money is exchanged for alcohol.
Well, that's the thing, is that...
And, like, this place, you're saying that it's not... Money is not exchanged for alcohol. It's a... If you want to contribute, you can. So it's basically just like having a party in this little shack that you have here. So do you think that you could possibly be arrested for something like this, or fined, or anything like that?
The interesting thing is if you have a DJ or you have bands play, and you start passing a hat, or we do a planned night where you we've actually, I mean, we've done some really wonderful food nights too, where I'm charging people $20 a head because we're providing dinner, drinks, and music.
Right, right, yeah.
And it's going to be something special. And, you know, we still wind up losing $100.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's not like we're making anything. We certainly never have, and I've never had a night here where I've ever came out ahead.
Uh-huh.
But it certainly, I think that that's the fact is that what constitutes a transaction, you know.
Have you looked into it at all, or?
Well, I mean, to the extent that you put money down and then you expect something in return, that constitutes what it would be. If I'm sure that if anybody came in here and said, you know, here you go, and they enacted it, and I took that, and I gave them something in return, and there wasn't anything actually said, that I would be liable.
Yeah.
But whether that is or not is I think it's highly subjective. I don't think that there is a standard case that somebody would apply. I think it's just, you know, what community members are behind whatever illegal action was.
Right. Well, have you found, too, because you do have neighbors up here. However, they are, not like living in a city where they're very close together.
They don't hear us for the most part. We try to have them over.
That's the way to, come over and have a drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's been the thing we've kind of tried to do the most part, and I think that they're really happy that we do it less.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to say, when it's up and going, it is particularly on a nice warm evening.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty extraordinary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems like it'd be a lot of fun.
And it's
to come to a place like this and hang out.
It's also a place that you can, honest to God, you can make six people feel like 20.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you get the right six people in this space, it just...
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, it's not big by any imagination. I mean, the bar that we're sitting in right now has got to be what?
It's 10 by
10 by 12 or something?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. 8. All right.
Yeah, something like that on the inside.
Right, right. Well, this is really, really cool.
Very cool. I sort of was, you know, just thinking about, you know, just this whole experience, and it was really, it does take a toll, and it definitely has a life of its own,
mm-hmm.
and we know that it's not going to be here forever.
Right.
And I don't want it to be here forever.
Yeah.
I mean, I always want to have music here. I mean, that's something. I would much rather have this be somewhere else that was further away from my home. And my wife has been super cool to tolerate me so far to do this. But I think that when you do something like this, if it really does feel magical in the sense that this whole place was put together in one day in 8 hours by 12 guys.
You did this in one day?
No, I mean, the building was here.
Oh, okay.
But we got at the building, we put a new roof on it, we built the bar, we built all the shelves, we put all the booze in, and we had a party that night.
Wow.
And it was just people going absolute gangbusters.
Yeah.
For 10 hours.
That's amazing. And how many people did you guys have helping you?
12 people.
12 people.
And we were all just sitting around a campfire anyway that morning working on another project. We just decided that this looked like a bar top, which was...
That's what started this whole thing, this bar top that I'm...
And I was really depressed about how this building had fallen into disrepair.
Uh-huh.
I built it for an Eastern European friend who was helping me build my house, who lived in it for a while.
Oh, okay, okay.
And that was the impetus to start the whole thing.
That's amazing.
But...
absolutely amazing.
You know, I sort of... I guess my point is, I do want it to die. At some point.
Right.
I don't think these things are supposed to last forever. I think that there's a cultural belief that institutions have to be defended with people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly ones that deal with these sort of like, I don't know, hippie transgression and freedom, you know?
Right.
I think that that's stupid. Uh-huh. I think that they're like mushrooms. They grow fast. They become what they are. Yeah. You enjoy them, and then they show up somewhere else. And it's really the same thing. It's just they're connected in a
right,
way.
Right. Well, that's what makes a place like this cool too. Is that it is temporary.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what makes the best memories too. Right.
Yeah.
Is that you can look back on something like this and say, yeah, we did that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, we did it for a year, or we did it for, you know, you guys are going on 3 years right now. We did it for 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, and you can look back on that and smile and like, those were good times.
You know,
that's what makes a good memory. Right?
It also,
something has to end.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I think that the part of that that I wanted to sort of stress is this idea of transgression. If you are doing something in a space that is what feels like it's illegal, a lot more things are possible.
Right.
You see people smoking cigarettes that don't smoke here. You see people doing things, you see people strangely compelled to, it's odd to me because I don't really drink that much.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy good whiskey and I enjoy booze, but I don't drink to excess at all.
Right, right.
And, but one night we had something called the Claminator where a friend brought a bunch of moonshine that he had made, and another person bought a giant bucket of steamed clams, and there was a line out the door to just drink moonshine with clams in it. And it was like this sort of macho feat that every man, woman, and child was like in, like they just all wanted to see if they could do it. And
I
thought that it was we needed like a vomitorium or something. It was just unbelievable. The other thing that I'm really astounded by here is the age thing. One of the most wonderful things about here, as much as we do things with kids and just for kids here sometimes, where we just do movies or other things in the amphitheater.
Yeah.
But we, for the most part, there's not kids here. But sometimes kids are here with their parents. I really try to keep teenagers out unless they're directly with a parent. The other end of that equation that I just absolutely love is we've had a lot of older folks that really have come to love this. And when there's a couple of 70 or 80 year olds sitting at a party, it changes the quality of just what's happening. And people, one night we had a guy who is, for a living, he is a counselor. He's in his early 80s, but he's still an active counselor. He works with people dying of cancer. And he was just talking about what he did and what it's like.
Uh-huh.
And he was in here. And this is a typical, experience of the speakeasy, is people started showing up. He was here early.
Right.
And then they walked in, and this guy's talking about something really heavy. And then they started sharing stories of people dying. And then more people started showing up, but it didn't change. It didn't turn into a party.
Right. And it's not. It's
next
not...
thing you knew, there was 30 people here, and we were all talking about loss and death.
Right.
And
but not in a depressing way.
Well, like, I mean, it just was what it was. I mean, it's loss and death. But I mean, there are organic things that happen when a space, when you can't put your finger on what this space is. This isn't a bar. It's not, I mean, what, you don't know what a speakeasy is because none of us have we don't have a history with it. We don't have previous experience. So when you come into experiences that feel different, that feel kind of like, what is this place? And it does feel that way at night.
Right, right.
Then you, you open yourself up to being something you haven't before. And in this way, I feel place is so absolutely important. Place changes people. You know, just like language does. You know, you go to a foreign country, you start trying to speak a foreign language, you realize you're not just speaking a foreign language. After you get the base proficiency, you're a different person. People can consider you to be different.
Right, right.
Place does the same thing. You get people in a place, and they feel like they haven't been in a place like that before. They will become different people. And that's, again... the essential quality of having something that dies. You don't want something that's been here for too long, because as soon as people, they know what it is, oh, you go right, there, you right. do this thing,
they start
it's
expecting
all good.
Stuff.
They expect stuff.
Yeah.
It shuts down possibility.
Yeah.
If you go to somewhere and it's like, what is this? And that's why we always love a certain percentage of newbies.
Right.
You know, you got to have some newbies that are just tripping on where they are, because that's awesome.
That is totally cool. Well, Sal, I thank you very, very much for inviting me out and talking with me.
You have to come out when it's.
I want to, and you'll let me know, right?
Well, you were nice enough to hook me up with that Basil Hayden, so you're gonna have to crack that with me.
Let's do it. Let's have a drink, my friend.
Yeah, you bet.
All right, thank you very much, Sal.
Yeah, thanks.
Owner and purveyor of the White Rabbit, and boy, oh boy, it's a beauty to behold.
This is Sal. By the way,
that's the real Sal right there.
Yeah.
Very, very old picture. Wow. All right, guys, you heard it here first, and me and Sal, we're gonna have a little drink. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
We will. We should at least have something, shouldn't we?
Totally.
I think that we'll just. We should. You shouldn't have something good.
Not good.
Yeah. You should have something shitty.
Wait a minute, I just bought you this bottle of very, very nice bourbon.
Okay, fine. Well, we're going to take a ceremonial sip then. If you want something nice, we'll get some Clear Distillery straight out of Portland of the nicest apple brandy you'll ever have in your life.
Wonderful. I can't wait.
Well, there you have it, folks. That was episode 29. I hope you enjoyed it. I had a great time with that guy, and boy, he gave me some pretty good tastes of liquor at the end there. I gotta get running, man. I gotta get this episode up, and gotta start preparing for next week's episode, episode 30, with none other than Sean Nelson from Harvey Danger. And Lynn Shelton's $5 cover, Seattle, and also of Sean Nelson fame. So, yeah, I hope you guys check that out. And I promise, that one will be up next Sunday. All right, everybody. Have a great week, will ya? Have a great week. Thanks for listening. This is good.